Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Coach Kirby Smart's Monday Media Conference.
Thanks, everyone, for calling in today. We'll ask Coach Smart for just a few opening comments to get us started, and then we'll go to your questions. Coach?
Yep. We opened with our preparation. We started yesterday as coaches and players today for South Carolina, and obviously got a lot of respect for their program, what they did last year with us, how hard their kids play. They've got a lot of kids that are from our area and from our state. We recruited a lot of the same kids, so we know a lot about them. And so we're moving on to these guys starting today.
Okay, let's start with Jake Rowe, and then we'll go to Mike Griffith.
Hey, Kirby. I just wanted to talk to you about, obviously going to start off with JT here. In terms of his progression as a quarterback, and going back and looking at that film, where do you think he has to improve specifically to kind of meet his potential at that spot? And how immense is that potential? How high is that ceiling?
Well, I think with any player that's relatively young in terms of their career, there's always a lot of room for improvement. I think in terms of protections and understanding where Trey's got things going and where he's pointed things, getting that correct, that comes through experience. And it comes through film evaluation, making sure that we got the right guys on the right guys in terms of where pressure's coming from. You know, in terms of his eyes in certain routes, there were a couple things that he had his eyes on the wrong side, but he threw the ball well. He was very accurate. He protected the ball, made good decisions with the ball, and, you know, had the one probably errant throw that went off the hands of the defender early in the game, and that may have just come from the rust of not playing. A lot of times you got to get out there and play, but certainly he can grow and get better. He understands that, as well as our other guys. You have to grow and get better in order to move forward, and that's what we all need to do.
Can you speak to that ceiling that I mentioned? I mean, how good do you think JT can be?
Yeah, I don't know that you know that right now. I mean, you see him make good throws. I think his mobility is not going to do anything but hopefully improve his decision making and the things. The people around him got to play well. He's got to get a run game around him to help him in order to reach his full potential and things like that.
Kirby, I know you guys are a primarily a man team. I know that's your personality. But with what we're seeing, the proliferation of these spread teams, the way these passing games are improving with kids being more talented, are you going to have to evolve into more of a zone team and get better at the zone coverage? Your guys looked like, I don't know, they didn't look comfortable playing zone in that first half against Mississippi State.
I would totally disagree with you first and foremost, because I don't think we're a man team. It depends on how you define man, to be honest. But in terms of coaching, we don't define it maybe like you guys do. We play very little man, just straight man. That's not what we play a lot of. We play matchup zones a lot, and we have a lot of different coverage multiples. But in that game, it was completely different than anything we play altogether. We rep zone every week, regardless of whether we play it or not, because you think you have to have the ability to have eyes on the quarterback with all the athletic quarterbacks now. So over 50% of our reps in practice are invested in zones, so you can break on the ball. And to be honest with you, our guys were completely comfortable breaking on the ball. You're not going to stop those routes playing zone all the time. You know, they're going to throw and catch them. The idea is to stop them before they get more than five and then hopefully bring up some third downs and some batted balls. So we're comfortable playing zone, completely comfortable playing zone. But it's hard when you drop eight and they throw it underneath, and they did a good job. They're very efficient in what they did. They didn't have a lot of the mistakes they had against other teams.
Let's go to Anthony Dasher and then Chip Towers.
Hey, Kirby, good morning. How concerned were y'all, I guess, after the game goes, as far as how JT would be feeling, and how is he physically right now after going through the whole game?
In terms of
just how he's feeling, how, I mean, with the knee, did he come out feeling okay with the knee?
Yeah, I mean, he came out feeling fine. He didn't take many hits. I mean, you think about it, playing quarterback in a game is not a lot different than playing it in practice, other than when you get tackled or hit. I think he took one really good shot on one of the deep balls, but it didn't affect his knee. He did a good job. You know, one time protection broke down, he got down and, you know, he took the sack. He didn't avoid it. He didn't get rid of the ball, but he didn't turn the ball over. And that, like I said before, you know, we have good pass protectors. We have to do a good job protecting him. He's got to use his mobility in the pocket, which he did one time. He spun out of trouble and made a throw downfield to George. So he did some nice things there. But in terms of soreness, no, he was fine.
Thanks.
Kirby, kind of following up on the zone defense thing, you know, South Carolina does what they do, and Mike Bobo does what he does, and Mississippi State obviously does what they do, which is different than pretty much anybody else. But obviously they were able to just pound that, you know, first down, middle of the defense, and end up with second and shorts and manageables and stuff like that. Do you expect, you know, I mean, so, you know, South Carolina obviously sees that. Do they try to do more of it in reviewing it? What could you guys have done better, or is that just – that's just what happens on that offense, and you know, you didn't get the deflections and interceptions and stuff like that you wanted.
Yeah, you probably have to ask Mike Bobo what he's going to do, not me, because I don't know. I just know that most offensive coordinators, Mississippi State is not a big game to watch. So I think when you see defenses the way they play Mississippi State, it doesn't carry over. Like most offensive coordinators we talk to, they don't even put that game in their breakdown, because it's irrelevant, because the defenses they're watching are not the defenses they're getting. So that'd be a question for him. And in terms of what Mississippi State did, like I told you, they were very efficient in their ability to throw those underneath patterns. And there's a lot of things we could have done, but the teams that have done those haven't been successful doing them. So, you know, you got to have change up, you got to have pitches. And we felt like we were going to be able to stop them. And sometimes we did. And in the second half, we played the same defenses and stopped them. So it didn't change anything. You know, it's no magic potion. It's the way we chose to play them, which is exactly how several other teams have played them. It doesn't make it right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm really worried about South Carolina, not Mississippi State.
Hey, let's go to Seth Emerson and then Mark Weiser.
Kirby, I'm curious, because it's hard to tell just watching the game, on with JT and checks and plays, audibles or whatever, how much was he doing? How much was he able to do? How much more could he potentially do as he gets more experience?
I had the same game plans we've really had with the other quarterbacks, in terms of, I think everybody likes to make a big deal, especially in the media profession, of how much is quarterback control and how much is offensive coordinator. The game plan is set up to where you have run checks, you have pass checks, you have flexibility on protections to redirect things. Nobody really is different in college football in terms of that. Some quarterbacks can handle more than others, and JT is not going to be – we're not going to be limited by what JT can do. We'll be limited by what we can do with our offensive line, our tight ends, our receivers, and backs, because for everything you do with JT, they have to be able to do as well. And you can't rep 100 different checks every week. So JT understands our system. He's got flexibility to do some things in certain calls, and then in other calls he doesn't. You know, it just depends on how the game's going. You know, if you're running the ball for 8 yards a clip, you don't need to attach an RPO. If you aren't running the ball for a lot, then you put the decision in the quarterback's hands and sometimes give him more flexibility. But that's all based off how the game's going and how the game plan's set, and JT's certainly fine with that.
Kirby, what are your memories of head-to-head meetings with Mike as a coordinator, or when you're both were coordinators, I guess? And what do you think of matching up with him now as head coaches, going up against a good friend in this setting?
It doesn't change a lot for me, because it's, you know, it's a game that we're trying to win based on the players on the field. It's not between Mike and I. I got a lot of respect for him. He's one of the best football coaches I know in terms of motivation, passion and energy for the game, recruiting, all those things. Got a lot of respect for him and the job he does and has done throughout his career. I mean, his record speaks for itself in our conference, what he's been able to do. And I know he'll have those guys ready to play. But as far as our history, I don't think that it really matters in this game.
Let's go to Dean Leggy and then Brandon Sudge.
Kirby, How do y'all set the tone in practice this week as it relates to the offensive line? Do they know? Have they already sort of started looking at stuff and so forth? Or did they immediately know after the game that they had to get some things corrected in terms of whatever they got to correct?
Yeah, just got to be creative in the run game. When people play you like Mississippi State plays you, it's, you know, you got to be patient, creative. You got to throw. So, I mean, there's things we can improve on, most certainly, always is. But you're not going to see a lot of teams rushing for a lot of yards against those guys if they're playing the same way they played against us.
Hey, Kirby, I have a couple questions. First, going back to Mike, I mean, can you kind of elaborate on his qualities as a coach where you saw him motivate guys and kind of be that guy? Do you have a memory of how you've seen that in the past? And then also with Jermaine, I mean, I know you said you're going to say that he needs to like improve and get better, but I remember a couple weeks ago you said he keeps getting better and better and better. Is he starting to realize that potential that y'all saw when y'all added him out of high school?
Yeah, I think Jermaine's getting better because he works hard. I mean, there's a lot of potential to grow in terms of, you know, he doesn't block the right guy all the time. He doesn't know all his assignments. He doesn't know his split. But the things you guys see, the things the public sees are awesome. So I want him to be the complete player that he can be. I want him to help benefit our teams in terms of second-level run game, of getting runs started. You know, there were a couple runs that didn't get started that you could say were his fault because he didn't do the right thing. So it's not like he doesn't have room to improve. He does. But the thing about Jermaine is he cares. Like, that's important to him. He wants to do those things right. And on top of that, he's got good ability. You know, the want to is half of it. The ability is the other part. And opportunity also. He got an opportunity to make plays, and he made them when he got an opportunity. So he'll continue to grow. In terms of Mike, I mean, I can't think of any specific examples. The guy comes from a coaching pedigree, in which his dad's one of the, you know, best coaches to coach in our state. He's grown up in a coach's family. He's got thick, tough skin, and players like him. Players enjoy playing for him because he coaches hard and with passion and energy.
Hey, let's go to Paul Newberry and then Austin Roper.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? I know, obviously, you got a lot of this season left, a bowl game. Is there any advantage, though, if you can at all look ahead to maybe settling in on that quarterback position with JT, even though it's late in the year, helping you going forward for the rest of this year and also even into 2021?
Yeah, the advantage, I think, would be continuity. I mean, what you're looking for is above-the-line play, high-level play, and that's what we've been searching for really all year. And you're always trying to find at every position who can play above the line and who can play winning football, and that's what we're trying to find. And anytime you get continuity at that position, is it a benefit? Absolutely, it's a benefit. We got to produce more sample size that way and continue to grow that position.
Hey, Kirby. So last week, South Carolina, they played both Luke Doty and then Colin Hill at quarterback. Can you, given the fact that, you know, that hasn't been announced as starter yet, can you kind of talk a little bit about what kind of impressed you about Luke Doty's performance last week, even though it was just a half, and then, you know, what Colin Hill presents as a quarterback as well?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty obvious that young kid Luke is a great athlete. He extends plays. He provided a spark for them in the run game they didn't have. Missouri creates a lot of issues in the run game because they're in a five-man front. They play man-free. They play one of the toughest defenses to run against in all the SEC. So they created some problems. You know, when they lost Shy Smith, it made it tough because he was one of their best weapons in that game. So it was a tough sled to run the ball, and I thought Luke brought some more energy. Colin obviously knows everything Mike wants to do, knows his checks, understands his systems, can do the running game checks, can make all the throws. He's got a really good arm and very accurate. So they're very different quarterbacks, and they complement each other.
All right, let's go out to Brady McCullough at the LA Times, and then we'll come back to Vance Levy.
Hey, Kirby. I covered JT when he was at USC, and so I was just curious. I'm sorry to everyone if Kirby's already addressed this, but can you take me through what went into JT not getting a chance to play until Saturday?
Yeah, we've talked about it at length. Talked about it after the game, so you probably should look back at those notes and see that stuff after the game. I'm really focused on what JD can do for us now and where he's come. A lot of it had to do with injury, opportunity, growth for him, making sure he was ready through our medical staff. But no need to belabor the point.
Hey, man. Kirby. Obviously, the skills of George Pickens are undeniable, but how has he developed as a team player in his second season? And then finally, since it's Thanksgiving, what are you most thankful for in this interesting of all interesting years?
Health, family, friends, ability for these young men to play this game that we all love, and all the people that make it possible to play this season, because you know, there's a lot of people hard at work to make sure that these kids get this opportunity. I'm very thankful for our players, their ability to so far, knock on wood, stay healthy and stay, for the most part, COVID-free. But George, you know, number one, he hasn't been healthy the whole year, so probably hasn't had quite the year that he wanted to have, and him not being in part of the offense, it certainly affects the way defenses play us. I mean, look, the guy's a really good player. I'd be lying if I didn't say we don't see some of the same fronts and coverages when he's not in there in terms of when he was and how some teams played us. So that affects some things as well. But he's a work in progress when it comes to developing and getting better. He's a great wideout. He's getting better in the run game. He's really physical when he blocks. He's got to block the right guys all the time. And he can be an impact on our overall team in terms of energy level and enthusiasm. When he makes plays, it sparks a lot of guys.
Hey, let's go to Connor Riley, and then we'll come back and see if Emily has a question.
Hey, Kirby, I know you just spoke about George and Jermaine a little bit earlier. What have you made of the progression of that wide receiver room, especially with how really not just one or two guys, but really the whole group played on Saturday?
Well, I think they're growing. You know, part of the thing we wanted to improve on was our ability to throw the ball and throw the ball vertical downfield and make some plays. To do that, you got to have the people to make those plays, and we're improving in that area. You know, Kiaris has been a really good surprise for us. He's been healthy. Last year, he wasn't healthy the whole year. George has not been healthy, but he's made plays down the field. And then, obviously, with Jermaine and the tight ends' involvement in the offense, it's helped. We haven't got to showcase that all the time because, you know, we've had throws, guys. We've had throws down the field. We just haven't always hit them. We haven't always made them. And I think that's an important element to any offense, is being explosive. We just got to make sure that we bring that run game along with it, because as you're explosive, people will defend explosive plays, and you got to be able to run the ball if they're going to defend you from explosive plays.
Emily, do you have a question? All right, let's go to Jay Black and then to Roddy.
Coach, with the increase in virus cases in the state and around the country, how will that change how you handle Thanksgiving with your team, those that can stay in Athens and those that choose to go home?
Yeah, we're going to visit with our players closer to the to Thursday and share some information with them. But to be honest with you, I don't really care to share that with everybody else. It's something that's a team involved, and we'll worry about those guys. But obviously it's a concern for the safety of the people in our community, and we want our players to be safe. I mean, we want all the people in our community to be safe. I want my parents to be safe. I want everybody to be safe. So we encourage everybody to mask up and keep the numbers as low as possible.
Kirby, you mentioned how Mississippi State played the run against you, and you know, a lot of times they brought more defenders than you had hats to block them. You got a chance to go back and look at the tape. How much of the troubles you had in the run game was missed blocks versus how much of it was just going against that scheme?
Well, I wouldn't say there's very often times that we missed a block. I would say whipped or beaten a lot of times. You know, it's not like we didn't have a hat for a hat in some instances. Most of the time, as always is the case in the run game, you got one receiver that's got to go get one of their hats, and that makes you even. But when you bring the receiver, that brings another defender. So they're always going to have a little bit of an advantage, especially when they play us. But that doesn't matter. Everybody we've played has been that way. The difference has been their movement inside and some of the stunts they ran to murky the picture up, kind of make it unclear and slanting and angling guys. And we didn't do a good job handling their movement more than anything else.
Okay, we got time for two more questions. Let's take open up if anyone wants to jump in.
Hey, Kirby, is there anything that you've seen differently about, maybe not, but has there been anything you've seen differently about South Carolina's offense since Coach Bobo's kind of taken over there?
Oh, yeah, they're very different from last year. I mean, they're not hurry up tempo all the time. They're not empty as much. I mean, they've gone back to some traditional formations. You know, they use a fullback. They multiply motion you a lot. They formation you. They get advantage in the run game. I mean, they're not the same offense they were now, not at all. But they've morphed a little bit throughout the year as they've lost some skill players. You know, he's lost a lot of skill players that were weapons to get the ball to, and he has to find other people to use as he loses those guys.
Injury issues, Coach. Any chance Jordan Davis gets back, and I guess Richard LeCount or any other guy?
Yeah, we're hopeful on Jordan. You know, Jordan's closer than Richard. Richard's not able to get out there and practice yet, so I don't honestly know on Richard. I'll find out more today. I know he's trying his best to get back and come back as soon as he can. I would say that he's, you know, probably doubtful for this game, but Jordan's got a chance, and that's. That's promising. We're hopeful to get him back and get him back out there going.
Thanks, Coach. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dawgs!